Morning.
Morning.
All right, our first message is going to be in John chapter 14. John 14, we'll be looking at verses 21 through 27. Our Lord in chapter 14 has been teaching about our union to Christ. Our meaning the church, his body, our union to Christ. We saw a few weeks ago our Lord showing us our eternal union and our vital or living union to Christ, as well as our manifest union to Christ. And it's our manifest union to our Savior which is declared to here in verse 21. Let's read that. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so our Lord is telling us that those who are the children of God, there is a manifestation that they are the seed of Christ. It'll be manifest that we are his disciples. And the way we hear that is a promise to you. That's your Lord's promise to you, that he will manifest himself. He will manifest his power and his glory in you, whereby you believe on the true and living God. You believe Christ. You trust him for your life. And so the fact that we are disciples, it will be manifest by a walk of faith, a lifelong walk of faith in our Savior, looking to him. We read in the scriptures four times, it's declared plainly like this, that the just shall live by faith. That is a promise. And that's the manifest union that we are the Lord's. We believe him. We live by faith, trusting our Savior. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, our Lord said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." That's hard. That's impossible in the flesh, to be hated by all men. Because you trust Christ, because you're made faithful to the Lord and you believe him, to be hated of all men for Christ's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You that continue to walk in faith, trusting the Lord, not being turned, just because you're hated and persecuted and tried by others, you endure to the end. You continue to walk by faith in your Savior. James, I was looking at James, and he combines these truths from John 14, 21 and Matthew 10, 22. He combines these two things of our Lord when he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." It's a temptation to be hated of all men. It's an affliction. It's a trial to be hated of others, to be persecuted by others, to be spurned by others, and to have them put you out of their assembly and to turn away from you. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And the end of our faith is eternal life with our God and Savior, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And that's what our Savior said in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." That one who loves Christ will endure to the end. He will walk by faith because he is justified. It's a promise of your God to manifest your union to him. That you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That he is your God and your Savior. And so there's a manifestation that you are the Lord. Just like that parable of the talents. Some received, one received five, another two, another one. And the one who had that one talent, that one hope, he went and buried it in the ground and brought it back to the Lord. And the Lord saying, there's a manifestation that you're mine. Why are you bringing me back this one talent which I gave you? Why didn't you put it in the bank and have it return interest to me? There's a manifestation of them that are mine. They grow in faith and love and hope of the saints of God. Now again, our Savior said in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So let me say a few words on these commandments. The true disciples have the commandments of Christ in him. It's not just a mere head knowledge. Our Lord's words to us are not a mere head knowledge, that we just know some things about Christ, but his words are written in our heart. His commandments are written in our heart, and they're in the thoughts of our mind. They're in our heart, they're in our thoughts. It's part of our nature, that new nature which is born of the seed of Christ. In Hebrews 10:16, our Lord tells us, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. He gives you a new nature and writes his commandments in your heart and in your mind. And our Lord summarizes these commandments like this for us. And saying, he says this in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, when he was asked, Master, which is the greatest, or which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now these commandments are not accomplished by us in the flesh. This is not something that our flesh can hear. This is not something that the flesh has any desire to hear or to obey or to believe or trust Christ. With the flesh, these are things that are written and engraven with stones. Paul calls this the ministration of death. Those who are looking to the Ten Commandments, those who are looking to the law of Moses as their rule of life and their salvation and their righteousness, Paul says that's a ministration of death. It reveals that the law was given to show us our sin, to show us how far short of the glory of God we come by nature. Instead, Paul declares that we're Christ's workmanship. We're born of the Spirit of Christ. He's promised to give us life in himself. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And he says it this way in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. A heart turned from its deadness and coldness and hardness and turned to the true and living God, not by the will of man, not by the works of man, but by the Spirit of God, turning us to behold the glory of our God and Savior in the face of Jesus Christ. So Christ isn't speaking here about the Ten Commandments. In fact, Paul clarifies this very point, saying in Ephesians 2:15 that Christ has abolished in his flesh the enmity. When we start talking about what you and I need to start doing, enmity against our God is provoked with the law, provoked by the law, because the flesh cannot please the true and living God. The flesh is carnal, waiting to be transformed when we see Christ. Then this flesh will be new. Then this flesh will believe and serve God. But until then, it's at war. It's just the old man and unbelief. And Paul says that Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace. In other words, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. The Jew born under the law, the Gentile born without the law. Regardless, we're all saved one way. We all come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our salvation. All of God's children come through Christ our Lord. Therefore, what he's describing here, what our Lord is speaking of here, is a spiritual work. It's a work of his grace, of his glory, of his power by the grace covenant of our God, which is established for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's declaring what he's done for you that are his chosen seed. He said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." That's John 6:29. And then in John 6:40, "This is the will of God that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will." There's my promise. "I will raise him up at the last day." You're not going to come short of the glory of God. Christ has begun this work in you. So this commandment, it reveals God's will for us in Christ. It's to believe Christ, whom God has sent, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him. It was imputed to him righteousness. He believed God. And that's what the children of God do. We believe our God. We hear that he's our salvation. He's our hope. It's all his power and glory. Our God has promised to save them that are his. That's his promise. And that's what he's speaking of here in our text. And to that he adds in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And your Savior loves us with all our faults and all our stink and all our ruin and our fall. And he loves us. And that's how we're to love one another, to bear with one another, to be patient with one another and kind to one another, even when we sin against one another. Christ loves us. He doesn't forsake us or turn from us. So we're to love one another and endure with one another, trusting, "My God is merciful and gracious to me. Lord, help me to be merciful and gracious to my brother, whom I love, whom you love, whom you saved and called to yourself and put in your body." So that faith in Christ and love for your brethren is a manifest witness in you and me that we are the children of God. He manifests our union to him that we're not children of this world. This isn't our inheritance. This isn't our home. We have a city that we're looking for that's built not with hands, but built by our God who promised this eternal inheritance in him. And Christ says, "That one, he shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now, on that point, Christ's love for us is eternal. It doesn't change. There's nothing we did. Hold on one second. His love is eternal. Our love for him is not the cause why he loves us. He says in 1 John 4:10 and in verse 19, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So Christ's love here in John 14, 21, it means what Christ is saying is, you in whom I reveal the witness of my spirit by giving you faith that looks to me for your righteousness, I'm going to reveal my love for you more and more. I will increase that understanding of my love for you in you more and more so that you'll see my beauty, Christ's beauty. You'll see the loveliness of him who is fairer than 10,000. He's the beautiful one. We'll see his faithfulness, who doesn't forsake you, who doesn't turn from you, but comes to you and speaks to you and calls you to himself and hugs you in his everlasting arms, who is gracious to you. You'll see his grace and his power and his glory, and you'll worship him and you'll praise him and you'll thank him. Lord, you're more wonderful, more beautiful than I ever knew. You're more lovely. You're the fairest among 10,000, Lord. So I've titled this, The Promise of Manifest Union. The Promise of Manifest Union, our union to Christ. This is a promise. It's a promise to you. So Christ is saying, when he said this word, it prompted Judas. This would be Judas surnamed Thaddeus. And he asked in verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. The Lord is showing this man's not lost. He's one of my children. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? The disciples here still were thinking that he's the Messiah. He's going to manifest himself to the world. He's going to establish an earthly kingdom, and we're going to rule with him and conquer the Gentiles. So how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not manifest yourself to the world? And our Lord is saying, because my kingdom is not of this earth. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, which is seen with spiritual eyes. It's manifest to those who are born again, born of the seed of Christ, born of the Spirit of our God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual birth in the Lord's people whereby they see and behold the glory of their God, the Savior, whom God has sent to put away their sins and to give them eternal life. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, we're told that when he was demanded of by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You're not going to see it. You in the flesh, who live in the flesh and are born of the flesh and have not the Spirit of God, you'll never see it. You won't observe it. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's manifest in you that you are the Lord's and that salvation has become your walls. In with the citizens of heaven, you're in the walls of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord had just told his disciples back in verse 19, John 14, 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, you see me. Because I live, ye shall also live. Brethren, we have a sight of Christ which this world knows nothing of. You believe him. You trust him. I know it's not perfect as we would have it to be or think it should be, but you believe Christ. You hope in him. And that's not the hope and the faith and the trust that this world has. Christ has manifest that faith and that hope and that joy that you have in him because you're his, and he promises to manifest that you are his and that he is yours. And that's what he does through faith. They can't see him with spiritual eyes, but you that have faith, who which is manifest in us, you see him. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know Christ is. You know that he is the Lord and Savior, and that he's your Lord and Savior. You trust him because this flesh doesn't have faith. The Spirit reveals faith in you that are his. You trust that God sent his Son in the flesh, that the Son of God was manifest in the flesh, revealed in the flesh. And he came as the Lamb of God to be the sacrifice, to be our propitiation, which means to turn the wrath of God, which was justly upon us and against us, to turn it away from us and against himself, bearing our sins in his own body on the cursed tree, becoming a curse for us, that we should go free, being forgiven of God, because the debt was paid in full by Christ, who shed his blood to make us our own. And you believe him. You know there's no way I can save myself. God is holy, and I am a filthy, vile, dead dog, wretched sinner who has nothing to boast of, nothing to glory of. Christ is our hope. Now Christ replied to this Judas Thaddeus. He answered and said unto him, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So these are promises of your God. This is his promise to you. These are coordinated, chosen, specific blessings, spiritual blessings of your God, which are given to you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because your God loves you. And he's manifesting his love for you through his power and glory in Christ. And so our God, who loves us eternally and chose us, is revealing himself, that we are his and that he is ours through this faith, through his work. And if a man love me, that is, if the testimony, if he bears testimony to the witness of God in him, if he bears witness, which we, the children of God, bear witness, it's manifest in us that we are the sons of God by the faith and the hope which he gives us in Christ, he promises that this one will keep his words, and my Father will love him, and three, we will come unto him, and four, we'll make our abode with him. Remember that God is the first cause of all things. It's not our love that causes God to love us. That's not at all what he's saying. He's manifesting to us that we are his. He's revealing in us the hope which he gives to the saints of God. He's showing, you're mine. I'm your God, and you're mine. And you're not going to perish in your sins. You're not going to be destroyed with the wicked. You're mine, and I've made you my own, and I've revealed it to you through faith by my Spirit, which I've given to you. Another promise we've been looking at for a while now is what Christ said in John 8:12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a promise. That's a promise. He's telling you, you that are my disciples, you won't walk in darkness. You don't make yourself not walk in darkness. Christ is promising you won't walk in darkness because you're my disciples. You have the light of life. And so our Lord here is encouraging our hearts with his promise to reveal himself to us more and more, to show us his love, his power, his glory, his grace, that you are his disciples. Now turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. This is why I'm taking you to verse 16 through 20. This very fact, this promise that Christ will manifest himself to us more and more, to know the love of the Father, the love of the Son, to know that, that we are his and that he dwells with us. Paul prays for the Ephesian brethren. And this is his prayer, I'm sure, for himself and for all the brethren. This is a prayer. When you think of your brethren, remember them in prayer that the Lord does this for them as well as for you and I. Paul says in verse 16, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You have life in Christ. And Paul here prays, Lord, strengthen your might in my brethren. Strengthen them in the inner man. Give them more strength to trust you, to believe you, to look to you, to rest in you, to experience the peace that we have with our God and Savior. That Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There's a deepening of our comprehension of Christ. We don't know everything when we first believe. He's saying, Lord, make them to grow, to see the breadth of your glory, of your love, of your power. Dwell with them by faith. Manifest your glory in them. Strengthen them in the inner man. Because this flesh is so wicked. It's so carnal. It's so unbelieving. It's so willing to be deceived. It's so willing to go the way of the world. Lord, strengthen them in the inner man. Keep them. Keep them looking to you, rejoicing in you. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You may find it hard to believe that God can turn your heart, that he can deliver you from some lust that you have, some hope you have in this world, some entertainment that delights you of this world. But he tells you here that God is able to do above, exceedingly above all that we ask or think he can do. He's able. He's able. You won't turn you. You'll fail. I'll fail. But he's able to strengthen you, to give you a heart and a love and a desire to understand him more, to love him more, to love your brethren, to serve your brethren. He's able. He's able. Now turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. We see this again in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here again are these encouraging words. They're not meant to afflict you. They're not meant to burden you or weigh you down because your flesh is being given some task to do. You and I cannot do it. He's encouraging you, saying this is the promise that your God gives you in Christ Jesus. So 2 Peter 1 verse 3. First we see that it's according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and what? Precious promises. Precious promises. That's what your Savior is encouraging your hearts with this morning. This is his promise. He's manifesting that you are his. You believe him. You trust him. You have no hope in yourselves. And so this is his promise that by these promises, which we receive by faith, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he goes on saying, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, you believe Christ, you trust him that he is your righteousness, so add to your faith virtue, which is goodness. Virtue. And to virtue, that goodness which your God reveals in you, knowledge. You come and you hear the word of God. and to knowledge temperance. What does he mean there? Consider what you've heard in the gospel. Lord, you've promised to manifest your glory in me. Lord, help me not to just run out of here and just go right on back to the world, living and fulfilling the lust of my flesh in the world. Lord, give me temperance. Keep me. Hold me. Hold me, Lord. Ever looking to you, believing, trusting your promise. And to temperance, patience. Lord, you say in your word that you reveal yourself to me. Lord, I wait for the promise which you give to your saints, for the promise of righteousness, Lord, to trust you, to walk by faith in you, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. What are these? These are the fruits of the Spirit which your God promises to reveal in you. For if these things be in you and abound, these things which are a manifestation of the love of your God for you, these are fruits of His Spirit, of His grace. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there will be fruits of the Spirit wrought in us. What does that sound like? John, the Apostle John, wrote in 1 John, 4:20, if a man say, I love God, yet hateth his brother, he's a liar. That's what he's saying. Don't hate your brethren. If you feel hatred or enmity or anger or wrath toward them, Lord, help me. Lord, melt my heart. Don't let me dwell in hatred for them who profess to believe on your name. Lord, you've been so patient with me, and I've said foolish things, and I've done foolishly despite your grace, and I've done wickedly, and you've been merciful to me and patient with me. Help me, Lord, to be patient with my brethren. Strengthen them, Lord, in the inner man according to your promise to reveal yourself in your people. Because, Lord, without you, without your grace, I'm nothing. Nothing. I'm just a clanging, tinkling cymbal. I know a lot of things. I make a lot of sound, but there's no love in me, Lord. Help me. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be gracious to me. But he that lacketh, verse 9, he that lacketh these things, he says, is blind and cannot see afar off. Wait a minute. Christ said, ye see me. The manifestation of his grace is that you see me, so that looking to Christ, we're not blind. Looking to the flesh, we are blind, and we won't do these things, because he's not speaking to the flesh. He's encouraging our hearts with the promise to manifest himself in our hearts. Ye see me, and hath forgotten that he was purged from all his sins. You and I could never do this. You and I can't grow. You and I have no life of this flesh, whereby we grow and get stronger and do better and more consistent. This ain't of the flesh. This is the promise of your God and Savior. Christ isn't charging us. He isn't charging our flesh. He's encouraging you with the promise of the Spirit. So that, look at verse 26 in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Those things, Peter says, you've forgotten, that you were saved from, that you were forgiven for your sins. We that forget so easily in this flesh, the Spirit is the one who reminds us. Lord, I remember now. Here I am angry with my brother. Here I am charging them with some folly, when I myself need to be forgiven, because I'm full of folly and unbelief, and I do wickedly, and I need your grace every hour, Lord. I've forgotten what I was saved from. Lord, thank you for reminding me of how gracious and how much I need you. Lean not. He's not speaking to the flesh. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Trust your God. Trust your God who promises to strengthen you, who promises to give you the Holy Spirit, who promises to manifest his love and faithfulness in you. This is Christ. We need him to do this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we hear this in the flesh and think, I better get doing, I better start fixing and straightening things out, it's grievous because it's an affliction, because we have no power or strength to do it. It's, Lord, help me. I see, Lord, how far short of your glory I fall, how you promise in your word to reveal yourself so wondrously, so wonderfully, so graciously, so powerfully in your people. Help me, Lord, and keep me, and remind me. Lord, don't let me fall away. Don't let me live in the flesh. And Lord, as you do this for me, remember my brethren too, that we love one another, that we be a faithful body who loves one another and are strengthened with the might of your power, of your spirit. And that's what he's saying. It's a promise. It's a promise. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We hear this and can only hear this rightly with the ear of faith, by the power of the Spirit. So it's his promise to you that believe him, that he does this for you by his Spirit and his power according to promise. And so he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. Don't hear this in the flesh. We look at this in the flesh and it troubles us, because we're looking at what can never do this. But he's saying, I'm promising you this. I've given you my Spirit. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So trust your Savior. He intends this word to be a comfort and an encouragement. When you see your weakness and you see your sin, turn to the Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, keep me. Lord, you've given your promise to turn me. Help me, Lord, because I can't do anything for myself. So trust him and glory in Christ your Savior. Amen.